And we're here on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WGR Radio, Nick Roddy from WGR Radio's morning show, and Mike O'Hara, Lions aficionado, Esquire. Hello, Michael.
I like the Esquire part. I'll stick with that.
Yes. Well, gentlemen, I planned on this podcast today being a preview for the Philadelphia Eagle-Detroit Lion matchup at Ford Field this Saturday or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the NFC Championship. I spent all day Saturday morning trying to fix a snowblower and looking at New Orleans hotel rooms and how we were going to get down there. I talked to Nick Roddy that day about how many credentials we're going to have in Radio Row. I'm setting all this up. And it just all came crashing down in a matter of hours. And, Mike, you've been through some disappointing end of seasons before. I've seen a few in my time covering the line, well, just being a JR. Roddy, I don't know if you've had any as disappointing as this in your brief time, but this one hurt. This one hurt. And I'm just going to put it out to you two guys first, and then I'm going to tell you my thoughts, because when I start talking, there'll be nobody spared.
We can leave for a couple minutes?
There'll be nobody spared. But Okay. Go ahead, Nick, first you go through your thoughts on the game and what transpired and what you got out of it.
I don't know. I didn't have a great feeling going into the game. I'll say that first. I didn't think they'd lose like that, but I mean, the way the Commanders were rolling at the end of the season, I thought it would be hard to stop their offense. I didn't see the Lions turning the ball over five times in lead in route to a loss. And I don't know if I ever really felt that this team would go to the Super Bowl in the last half of the season. It didn't really feel like a big letdown for me. I was kind of prepared to have this team lose before the Super Bowl. I don't know why. It was the injuries, and we kept saying that they can overcome it. They can overcome it, but at the end of the day, they really couldn't. When you have players like Norris and Thomas Oliver at corner at the end of the game in a playoff game. So I'm not stunned, but I think the way they lost, they kind of went away from what got them there. And we can talk about the play calling and all that stuff, but it wasn't a shocking loss for me.
Mike O'Hara.
Well, I think it was a shocking loss for me because my prediction for the final score was, I think, 38-16. So that must tell you what I thought was going to happen. It's not like they got beat on the last play of a game or something like that. They just got mauled. They got grinded to nothing in that game, and that was the hardest part for me. You could tell in the last 15 minutes or whatever the game, they weren't in it. I mean, this was not the Detroit Lions, not the way they played, and they were not in this game at this point. And the one thing I thought about was, I think it was last August or somewhere in there, and they asked Dan Campbell, he says, what are you expecting in this season? And he said, I want the whole enchilada. In other words, I want it all. I want to win the championship. I want to win the Super Bowl. I just kind of, that kind of just flashed through my mind in the last, 10, 15 minutes of the game. And I'm kind of still thinking about it now, that they set a high goal for a good reason, because they have a good team and, had to, they beat the Minnesota Vikings to get a premier seat for the last game here, and it didn't come. It just melted in their face. And so that's what I thought about.
All right. You guys ready?
And I like enchiladas, by the way.
Are you guys ready?
Hold on. I'm moving back.
All right. Let's face the fact. They weren't going to beat, with the way they were depleted defensively, they weren't going to beat Buffalo in a Super Bowl. They weren't going to beat Baltimore. They had a 50% chance against Kansas City and a 50% chance to beat Philadelphia if they would have went there next week. That's where I was going into this game. I didn't think the Washington could beat them, because I didn't think a rookie quarterback in his second playoff game on the road would play the way he did. And I'm going to tell you right now, the only reason you're not playing today is because their quarterback as a rookie played like a 9-year veteran, and our 9-year veteran played like a rookie. That's the game. Because they could score point for point. They would have scored plenty of points to win the game if you'd have just played turnover-free football. They would have won. And Jared Goff, and the question's got to be asked, all you Jared Goff chanters at Red Wings games or whatever, and all you little Fairweather fans that came in at the last minute, found Goff, now you want to champion them, today you're tearing them down, you got to ask yourself, in the biggest moment, does he have it? If everything is not right, I'm sure he could win a Super Bowl. If everything else goes right around him and he doesn't mess up. But as you saw this last week, when things start falling apart or he has to press because he knows the defense is going to give up a lot of points, he reversed the L.A. Jared Goff. And that's why you lost. That's why you lost. And if you want to go to one play during this game that cost the game, and I listened to Dan Campbell on Monday morning, his press conference, he brought it up. You go up 14-3, it's a whole different ball game. That third and one play where you go back to pass and he fumbles the ball.
Okay, we'll talk about the play call.
I have no problem with the play call.
Exactly. So no problem with the play call.
Wait a minute. Let me
finish. Where was the play going?
It was going to St. Brown, but he slipped.
And he fell.
Okay.
Okay.
But this goes to my point. When that happens, Roddy, what do you do as the quarterback?
Adjust.
You throw it at his feet and you go fourth down. You cannot go back and resettle and try to make a play out of the guy fail. Play's over. That's what I'm talking about, a quarterback. A 9-year veteran should not be doing that. You see St. Brown fall, you know what you do? You hit him in the ankle. You hit him in the ankle with the ball. Running the field. Because they were going to go two downs. Campbell said today in the press conference, they were going two downs on that anyway. So they would have ran the next one. So that's on the quarterback. And Graham Glasgow, which we'll get to sometime during this podcast, who I hope has seen the last play as a starting lineman on the Lions. Right. He can be the backup, but we'll get to that later. Okay, play number two. You're down by I'll take that back. That's going to be play number three. Play number two. End of the half, the interception to J-Mo in the end zone. That's a bad golf pass.
Yeah.
And a bad reaction by J-Mo, who I'm going to get to later on, too. J-Mo could have fought a little harder for that ball, or don't let Sanders Strill undercut him. But it was a bad ball. You throw it 5 feet to the left, and it's a touchdown.
Is that the one he didn't catch in the end zone?
Yeah, the one he didn't catch in the end zone.
Yeah, he should have drifted over.
You get that thing, you go into halftime down 3 instead of 10, and you come out, different game. But you did come out at the halftime, shut them down, get the ball score. You're down 3 points. You shut them down then. You got two opportunities of defense to get off the field. You can't do it. So as much as I want to blame Jared Goff, the defensive line was shot.
You can blame everybody. I mean, that's
some people
you
can't blame.
You can blame coaching.
I don't think you can blame coaching.
What?
I don't think it was a badly coached game. I think it was a
badly
played game.
They were telegraphing blitzes, the Brian Branch blitz on the Terry McLaurin touchdown. That's coaching.
Is that coaching or is that players?
No, you're not doing rogue things on plays. You're telling them what to do.
Yeah, but they gotta create, Roddy. They gotta make something happen. I didn't see anybody on that team make something happen. The coaches can only tell you this is the play. Blitz.
How about calling a timeout on 4th and 2 with 12 men on the field?
That one I agree with. But you got 12 players on the field. Don't you figure one of them would call a timeout?
Yeah, absolutely.
I see them pointing.
You got 30 coaches on the sideline.
But I see them pointing like they know there's 12 on the field. Can't somebody call a timeout? Who's your captain? Who's the captain?
I don't know. Was he on the field at that point?
I'm
I don't
just
know.
Saying, one of them got to call it. What do you think about that one, Mike?
I think somebody's got to call it. Yeah, absolutely. Look, the players know what's going on. They're not taken by surprise that there were 12 men out there. They know it. And you have to react to it. We react to it and call time.
Yeah, but let's not twist it either.
I don't think that cost them the game, but it didn't help.
No, but let's not twist it either. They were 3 or 4 on fourth down anyway. You hadn't stopped them all day on fourth down, except for that one stupid Marietta play, which I still to this day don't know what the hell that was.
Yeah.
So they were going to get it anyway, most likely. 70%, 80%, they were going to get it anyway. But my point is, there were so many third and fives, fourth and twos, third and, you know, second and fives. I never saw a game-changing play. Did Washington have a holding penalty in that game? Did they ever have a 15? They might have had one, I remember offhand. But I don't think they ever got in long, you know, first and 15s or second and 15s. Maybe once or twice. It was rare. That was the difference, too, man. You were fighting short fields, short downs all night. And you didn't have any playmakers. So, Mike,
one of the other things, too, I just sent throwing to Washington, just throwing to so many guys who are wide open. I mean, wide open, uncontested, walk-in touchdowns.
Well, Mike,
I think I've seen this all year, too.
Yeah, but I think the whole thing went to pot once Amik got hurt. I just think
I agree with that.
And that's the second play of your defensive, you know, plays. He's hurt and out, and you're scrambling from that point on. You can't rotate guys. You don't have when Bill Go comes in, and he's basically playing the full game. And who are these guys, Roddy? We had at the end of the game on the field. I don't even know the name of the jersey. Maurice Norris, what was the guy's name?
Yeah.
Mo Nice, and what's the other guy? Another guy I never even heard of before. I didn't even know he was on the squad. C. Smith, what was the guy's name?
Stanley Oliver.
That's my barber. That's my barber. When I go in, I'm going to see what, does he have a jersey? Because that was my barber. So,
the injuries, like, I thought the team was getting healthier towards the end of the season, and they were. But they still played Jonah Williams, Miles Adams, Trevor Nowoski getting a lot of snaps on defense. Like you mentioned, Maurice Norris. These guys are getting meaningful snaps on defense.
Yeah. Trevor Nowoski's claim to fame is being the 12th guy on the field because he's done nothing since that interception. What game was that early in the year? Tampa Bay? It was one early interception where the guy threw it in his stomach, and he's done nothing. But, and I even called him out on one of our podcasts.
But you've been talking about Broderick Martin all season on this podcast. And it really just dawned on me today that they really could use a guy like that because they're bringing these guys in a divisional playoff game when you can't stop this Washington offense and you have, was he a third-round pick?
Yeah.
Third-round pick dressed like fans in a T-shirt and sweatpants.
These are two things from this game all you need to know. One, Broderick Martin doesn't dress, as you say, if you brought in guys from Seattle, that Mays guy, you brought Jonah Williams in from Williams from the L.A. Rams in as a tackle. You brought guys in this in the last 6 weeks, and they're dressing.
Chris Smith
coming up from the practice squad every week, you know, and he's not even dressing. That's all you need to know about that. And number two, that you have Teddy Bridgewater being the backup.
Yep.
Instead of Hendon Hooker. Those are things that you don't need to say anything else. You know, I know how you feel.
What was the reason for that? I know it doesn't mean much, but what was the reason for that? How did Hendon Hooker?
He never explained it. At least I didn't hear it. Did you hear the explanation for it? But I think it was just they wanted a more experienced guy.
Bridgewater was fine. I mean, he
was fine,
but
I'm just saying.
Yeah, they scored a touchdown.
Hendon Hooker is your backup all year, and all of a sudden he's the emergency guy. I don't expect to see Hooker back in here next year anyway. That's me. But we'll talk about that in a minute, too. So the Lions lose. I'm not upset right now. I'm upset about the game and the way they played. I'm not upset with the program right now because, to me, this year started a four-year window that you have to win because you got your young players are young. They're under the contracts you want them on. You're not going to lose anybody within the next 4 years of consequence. And this is your window. You failed on your first year of the window. Now you move on. And I just want, before I even got, well, I brought that up. Do you guys consider this season a failure?
I do now, yeah. If this would have been a Super Bowl, I wouldn't have. But no, to get knocked out early like that, and the way they did, yeah, it is. It's a failure.
I don't know. I
don't like saying that either. Yeah. By the way,
well, you said it.
If we're sitting here,
it came out nice and smooth when you said it. So evidently, you must have liked it.
If we're sitting here like 5 years from now, what are we going to think about this season 5 years from now?
That they won 15 games.
We're going to remember the franchise record and wins.
That's all you're going to remember.
That's all we'll remember.
That's all you're going to remember. And that's fine. If you didn't have Super Bowl aspirations going in the year and you won 15 games and lost like that, okay. But I just think since you went to the NFC Championship game last year, if you didn't get back to that spot, it would be a failure.
Now, do you want Washington to win the Super Bowl?
No, but I do like Jaden Daniels, and I am a fan of his. He's a class kid, and damn, he's poised. I don't think he's the greatest talent in the world. He's good. He's talented, but I don't think he's, you know, oh, my God, we have to deal with him the next 20 years because he's such a great talent. No, he's just poised beyond belief, and he's accurate. The one thing you can say about him, he's accurate. So, but they're going to have to get a better system for him because I'm telling you right now, he's going to get broke up running around. And I that part I don't like. But, Mike, I was impressed with him. I wasn't impressed with the rest of the squad. I didn't see anything out there. Terry Scary McLaren. What was his name? Terry Scary, whatever his name is. The one play, Afontu and Kendall Vildor. There's no way in the world you let the guy get through for 59 yards. You got
three on two because Branch telegraphed his blitz.
True. But you still, he goes right between two guys. You don't get a hand on him or slow him up a little bit. And then Kirby Joseph, who's had the last three games have been three of the worst games. I'm sorry. The game in San Francisco, he was all right. The last two games for Kirby Joseph, I don't think he's done a damn thing. I think he's read too many press clippings.
I mean, I thought Dynami Brown was like the best wide receiver in the league, the way he was burning Terry and Arnold out there. He's their leading receiver.
There's not going to be any Terry and Arnold slander on this podcast.
All right, well, you can bring up everybody else. Before we go any farther. But he's their leading receiver.
There will be no Terry and Arnold slander on this podcast.
Is he your barber, too?
No, he's the barber's apprentice. Now, look, I cannot defend Terry and Arnold play. I thought he played good this year. I think it was as a rookie. Like I said, I saw Darius Slay as a rookie, Mike. You saw Darius Slay as a rookie. He had a way better season than Darius Slay had as a rookie, and I know the kid will progress. And you got them playing man coverage more than any other young rookies in the league. He played okay, but let's not get off the point, Roddy. He only had 90 yards, this guy. What's his name?
Yeah, exactly. What's his name?
Whatever his name.
Okay.
The guy that was drafted rounds before our Amon St. Brown, though. If you know, that's one of Amon St. Brown's list of receivers that were drafted before him. But Scary Terry was the one that got the touchdown. That's the one on that play that was a 4-yard play that turns into a 59-yard touchdown. That to me, Mike, that was one of the back-breaking plays of the game.
Yeah, it's not supposed to go the distance, that's for sure.
Okay. Any more on this game? Because I want to get to the future. You got anything left on the game before we go, Mike?
No, I can pass on this one.
Right.
Does this hurt more or less than the San Francisco loss last year?
Oh, more. Absolutely.
I think less. I think less. Yeah, but for one reason. Because at halftime of last year's game, you're up 17. I don't think you could get any more hurt than now. If you say before the game started, is this loss hurt more? Yeah, but once that San Francisco game at halftime, you're 30 minutes from the Super Bowl and you lose it. That hurts way more. That hurts way more.
So. I think there's a little different feel about this one. But I wouldn't want either one of them. Be honest with you.
Okay, Mike, I'm gonna ask you then. Does this hurt, Roddy? Listen to this. Does this hurt more than the Philly Detroit game of years ago?
That turned into a joke.
Well, I'm just saying, the Lomas Brown guarantee, they were, won a bunch of games in a row. They go into that game and get stomped. Is that worse than this game here?
Ask Lomas.
Well, speaking of Lomas, we had Lomas on the morning show, and he was talking about how surprising it was that the fans were leaving the game middle to end of the third quarter. And you wanted to bring up the fans, Ken Brown.
Yeah, I want to bring them up. But I'm going to defend the leaving part, but I'm going to bring up this other part. These little new fair weather fans that we have that jump on anything new, that, you know, these guys with the $1,000 seats that come in there and then they want to sit on their hands or they want to cheer in appropriation, they're not the guys that got you there. So if they turn on you quick, you can't be mad at it. And that's what happened, man. You know, you had built this thing up. This was going. This is the social event of the season. It's, you know, it's like the auto show. It's the social event, the Lions game, where the who's who hobnob, and you go down. Then when you don't get the show you want, they turn on you. Not like the fans that have been going to that Silver Dome and out to the Ford Field over the last 20 years that have sat through that garbage. That now when they get a winner, want to, you know, relish in it. Those guys were priced out. So next year, I hope the real fans, even though you're still going to be priced out, some of you, dine these games and stick with the team. And Lomas is right to that point they left, but look at the ones that left, Roddy. It was the nouveau fans. Now, I don't think they were wrong with the way you were playing, per expectation of what you said you were going to do. The show was bad. So, Mike, I don't know where you come in on that.
Regarding what? I don't quite...
The fans leaving early in the third quarter.
That doesn't bother me. If they want to leave, leave. I'd rather have them leave than sit there making wisecracks the rest of the night. And I've heard every one. All right.
So we'll just brush that game away. Lions take it on the chin. Maz Johnson's in the house. A lot of storylines afterward. Good luck to Washington next week against Philly. I watched Philly and the Rams yesterday. Rams could have won that game. Did you watch the game, fellas?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The one play of that game, a defensive lineman making a sack, and that was the ball game when you need it most. That's what the Lions did not have the last part of the season. There was no lineman making any type of impact plays, and that disappoints me more than anything else going in this offseason. Za'Darius Smith, he is what he is. You got him for a fifth rounder and, you know, a cup of coffee and a donut, and he played like it. He was okay. Wasn't great. He was okay. And he's going to be a year older next year if you decide to keep him, which we'll get into later. I was disappointed in DJ Reader this year, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up. I don't think they got out of him what we expected them to get out of him.
No, but he had the quad worked on last year. Maybe age, and he's had both quads toward now. Maybe age and injury has got to him. But I just expected more as a run. I just expected more out of him from the year. He didn't play the first game of the year. Oh, I got another thing to tell you guys, too. Do you guys have NFL Network?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Okay, I season pass the Lions. So every time the Lions game comes on, even a repeat game or a new game, it goes into my hard drive. Friday afternoon, they played the first game of the year again. They replayed the Rams-Lions game. So I'm sitting, and this should have told me too. I'm sitting there watching this game Friday night when I got home from work. And I turned on the first quarter. Mike, the number of players that were playing on the Lions defense in that game that have nowhere, anywhere played now, it was like a whole different defense. It was six players that were started or played that game that had roles that we haven't seen in like the last 6-7 weeks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
Davenport,
sure.
Hutch, Barnes, Rodriguez.
Carlton Davis.
I mean, I'm looking at this game. It's a whole different thing. So I can't be mad about the way the defense played the end of the year because they just – it's only so many backups you can put in, you know. But I am disappointed in some of the starters that played. Like I said, DJ Reader, I was kind of disappointed. I was disappointed in Josh Pascal for the year. I thought I expected a lot more out of him.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a successful year for Pascal Anzarike. I mean,
why? Because they made it through.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
So that's the start. That's the bar we're dealing with now.
For now, yes.
Health, the bar is health now.
Yes.
Okay.
And next year we'll move on.
Well, Anzarike is going to be gone. So
maybe
he went over the bar. And he's gone.
All right, then go get your money. All right.
So health is the. Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Pascal had a couple of missed games now. So you just saying
okay.
That he finished the season.
I mean, he played most of the season.
Okay. All right. All right. I get that. Well, now, since we brought this up, Mike, let's go into off season.
Okay.
You got a 15-win team, Mike.
15 wins. Okay, I'm with you.
Lost the first round.
Gotcha.
You look at the rest of the NFC because NFC is all you care about.
Yep.
And where you stack up. Are you making minor moves, or you want to make a major move, or you stick with what you got and hope for better health? Those are your three options.
We were 6-0, so let's keep that in mind in the NFC North.
Yeah, I said you scoured the whole NFC and you know where you stand. What do you do?
Well, I think they need. I think the roster needs some work. I think it's a good roster overall, but there's some areas where they need some work.
Roddy.
I think you mostly stick with what you have. I mean, you're going to fill out the roster with some new players, but you need some money saved aside for a Gibbs extension, a Hutchinson extension.
Well, Gibbs can't be extended till next year.
No, but, I mean, okay, yeah, next year. But they have a lot of money locked up with St. Brown, with
Goff,
with Sewell.
The Hutch and Joseph are eligible this year.
Yeah, I mean.
Did you extend either of those guys?
Yeah.
Or you just put their fifth-year options on. Hutch and Kirby Joseph.
Yes.
I'm telling you right now, I'm holding off on her Kirby Joseph.
Okay.
I'm holding off.
But
Hutch,
you can't spend all your money right now because you have a lot of money locked up.
Yeah, you got guys you got to pay.
Yeah.
You got guys you got to pay.
So, but
J-Mo's also in the fifth-year extension, or do you extend him?
I think you –
Jameson Williams, do you option his fifth year, or do you try to extend him in the offseason? All those guys are for extension.
Can't you nullify the fifth year extension going in?
Now, fifth year, they change the rule. Okay. It's guaranteed. Now, it used to be you do the fifth year and you could still cut him and you wouldn't have to pay. Now it's guaranteed once you do it.
It depends what the number is.
For a receiver is probably going to be $15 million. I'm sure.
I think he's become a real asset out there.
Okay. I know this is unpopular, Ken Brown, and I'm going to be called everything from a black against your own people, whatever. I know you're going to say this. I'm ready for him to go. I'm ready for him to go, and it has nothing to do with talent. No, let me explain this. First of all, and I told you about this, Mike. I talked to you yesterday about this.
Right.
This showboating stuff has got to stop. It's just pawning into the end. Once you get in the end zone, you guys want to celebrate, you do it. You can do the damn Fifth Symphony. I don't care. Showboating in the end zone, then he's going to get fined for that sexual end zone celebration. You might as well just get your check up now because you're getting fined for that. But why? And at the time, weren't they losing?
Yeah. Oh,
so what are we doing here, man? And then at the end of the game, I know he had to run down and come back on those plays. They're trying just to score at the end. But that shows you who's still playing at the end of the game. He's jogging back at the end of the game. I know he had to run 40 yards. But, damn, man, it's just the last game of the season. Don't you think you could get a little more effort there? Did you see those plays, Roddy?
Yeah.
What'd you think of that?
I mean, you couldn't really see him the entire time on the screen, so I don't want to critique how fast he was running back. But,
okay, but he was the last one back. We can't miss that.
Well, he's also the farthest one away.
That's true. But I'm just saying, I'm just had my fill of J-Mo, and it's always something with him. He throws the – okay, we didn't even talk about that play. I thought I could get away with it, but we have to talk about it now. Ben Johnson's great play calling. Unless he told him, that's a if you see him open, you throw it, otherwise you run it. Why do you give the most brain-dead guy on your team an option to think? That's all I'm asking. You know this kid has no thought process on anything else in his life. He's a free spirit. He runs around, does stuff crazy. You go actually put a legitimate – you're only down 10 with 12 minutes left at that time, and you're marching. You just got a first down. You going to give him the option to think? Oh, my God. Right there, I'd have walked Ben Johnson off the field. Okay, you're done. Give it over to somebody. Fraley, come take over the play caller. I've had enough. That was a bad, unless they told him. Well, even then, why are you telling him to think?
Yeah, I agree.
Why are you telling him to think? So I got a problem. I just got a problem with J-Mo, period. Nice kid. Team loves him. Never misses a microphone he didn't like. He's always talking. But I just don't see the responsibility out of him, man. And, true enough, he might have scored anywhere on that play. When he's holding that ball, what if the ball falls out of his hand while he's showboating like that? You know, it's unnecessary, and he does unnecessary stuff. And I just don't think I just don't think he's a player you can go forward with after this contract is up. I put the fifth-year option. I would extend him to that. And after that, if he wants to go, I'm fine. See you later. That's me. Great talent.
So with the fifth year, is that one more year with him?
You got two more. There's fourth year coming up. And then you can extend him that one, you know, for the first rounders. So you can't extend Kirby Joseph. So this will be Kirby Joseph's last year, next year. So you got to either do something with him or he's going to walk after the year. But for the fifth-year option, you're going to put Hutches on, I'm sure, and you're going to put J-Mo's on. And then you go from there. I don't think you sign Hutch to an extension in his offseason. You don't know what he's going to be when he comes back. You think he's going to be 100%, but do we know?
No, but, I mean, these players don't really, like fall off after injuries anymore.
I'm just saying, you got to be sure because you never know. And the
surgeries and the recoveries are so...
I know, but
perfect
you got him.
Now.
You got him two more years. What's the hurry?
Okay, but I'm just saying you need money.
What if one leg is short? They had to take an inch off that leg. What do you walk around looking like Peg Leg Bates? What are you gonna do?
All right, but who do you bring back? Davenport, Tim Patrick.
I'm bringing Davenport back to clean his locker out and then on to his next destination. Good luck.
Reader signed, right?
He signed for another year, but you got to get a replacement. Davenport, I can't even tell you what he looks like. That's how long he's been gone. Mike, if I put three people up, I would.
Melifonwu?
No. I'm about to get to him, too. I see you. Don't want to be you. To me, are you guys noticing that once Brian Branch moved back to nickel, the defensive backfield wasn't as good? I think you put him back at safety and leaving him. He was playing better. He played all right at nickel, but I think his best position is that safety position. Him and Joseph next year. And leave it like that. Put somebody else at nickel. Oh, matter of fact, they had the clean out day yesterday. Rakestraw talked. He said something very interesting.
Who?
Yeah, right, Rakestraw. He was talking about his injury season. Well, he said that he got hurt in the pregame of the Tampa game.
Okay.
He was scheduled to start that game. He said, I was starting that game, and I got hurt. And he said, after that, it all went bad, and there's nothing you can do about it. But he said, I was supposed to start that Tampa Bay game. Think about that. If he starts that game and didn't get hurt, do we ever see a Meek Robinson?
I'm sure we see him with all the injuries.
But I'm just saying, the whole thing changed around because
even a Meek didn't really come into his own until late in the season anyway.
Well, I'm just saying, a Meek was a starter at nickel the whole after that. But he wouldn't have been, which is interesting. It's just interesting that.
But who knows how Rakestraw plays in that game.
True.
If he doesn't get hurt, he's still a rookie.
Yeah, but I thought he was a good player in training camp. I thought he was very good. Like I said, that's another reason which goes into our second question. Do you bring Carlton Davis back next year?
Yes.
Is that you got Rakestraw ready to play next year. You got a Meek who I think played better on the outside than nickel. So do you bring Carlton Davis back?
I do. I think he's your number one priority.
Mike,
of your own free agents. Of your own free agents. I think you need a pass rusher, but I think bringing someone back, I think it's Davis.
Where you going there, Michael?
Boy, I'm waddling on this one. I really am. That's a lot of money to give to him.
For a part-time player.
How is he a part-time player?
He's hurt every year. That's what I'm talking about. He's hurt every year. He was hurt in Tampa every year. He got hurt. How many players?
It seems like this is football, right? Everybody's hurt every year.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question. How many players have you seen in the last 7 years of football, any team, that have missed time with a broken jaw? The guy is Schlep Rock, man. He invites injury. I mean, he's got injuries I've never even seen. I've never seen a guy miss time. The last guy I remember broke his jaw was Antoine Bolton years ago. You got a helmet on. How does this happen?
I don't know. How about you can take a punch and see if you can.
If I had a helmet on, you had to punch hard. Well, I'm just saying, it seems to me some guys' injuries just follow him, and he's one of them. Good player. I agree with you.
So what do you say?
For a certain price, I'd bring him back.
Okay, you can say that for anybody.
But if he's getting 14 now, I can't go much over that. There will be no raise.
No, but you can give him 3 years and fiddle with the money and all that. That's
What's your average going to be? Do you go over 14?
Well, he'd probably go over 14 for the first year and under for the second and third.
That's on y'all. That's a bigger call than me. I rode the elevator with Brad Holmes the other night, and I was talking to him for a brief break. This was before the game.
I'm sure he was talking a lot.
I'm not going to sit up here and say we're talking football. I'm just saying. No, that's not the point I was trying to make. See, I can sit up here and start laughing. Yeah, I was talking to Brad Holmes. He said he's going to do X, Y, Z. That's, no, I was just talking high and by stuff. But I told him, great season or whatever and whatever. And he's a very nice guy, and he just did that. I'm just saying, toot my own horn, basically, what I just said. That I was in
That's
the other.
That's nothing new.
That was it. And if you go to my website, go to the WGR website, you see the picture of me and Barry and Flavor Flav in the elevator. So I was hanging out.
So you stand by the elevator.
That's all I did. I was hobnobbing with the celebs the other night.
God.
Hey, Mike, if we'd have known what's going to happen the next 3 hours after that, I would have stayed at the elevator. Trust me. Okay. So you said yes for Daniels, and Mike said possibly.
Davis. Yeah.
Right?
Davis.
Yeah,
I'd
probably keep him. Yeah, probably.
Okay.
I wouldn't want to get too much money, but I think it probably the asking price would probably dictate the move one way or the other.
Okay, defensively, we all know they need a pass rusher, right?
At least one.
At least one. Two, I think two. They need a defensive tackle too. They need another tackle.
McNeil's going to be hurt. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you need another tackle. For rotation, even if McNeil's not hurt, you need another tackle or two. Petco and those guys, Petco played pretty good last year. Guys like that were hurt coming back, you can put in the rotation. How old is he now? That's what I'm worried about because he's been, if he's over 29, he might not be back.
Who are we talking about?
Frank Kaminsky, the commish.
John Kaminsky.
Oh, Kaminsky, yeah.
I thought his name was Frank.
Frank is the
Oh, that's a basketball player.
Right? I think his name is Mike.
See how old John Kaminsky is. But,
he's 29.
John Kaminsky, yeah.
He's right on that edge. Yeah, you can bring him back. You can bring him back. But isn't he more of an end to tackle, basically, though? I guess he moves into both, but, yeah, you can bring him back. I don't think Anzarike is going to be back. I think he's going to get an offer. And you don't want to spend too much on him, even though I really like the way he played this year. As a rotation guy.
Okay.
Oh, Mike doesn't agree. I got here. Go ahead, Mike.
No, that's I'm laying my decision here strictly on your wizardry.
All right. Offensively, is there anything we need to do different, or can you bring the same offensive team back?
I think they need to add an offensive lineman, another one for sure. You know, they have a couple of guys who they could still play, but they might be limited a little bit by injury.
Right.
Oof. I think Mahogany might be ready to go. So you let Zeitler walk. I think Zeitler was good, but.
And that's if Zeitler wants to come back. We don't even know if this might
be his
last
money,
year.
That's where it's going to be.
Yeah, Zeitler, if he retires, if he wants to play another year and you give him 1 year, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
But
what's Glasgow's contract?
Wait a minute, that's what I'm about to say. He just re-signed, but Glasgow's coming out of there. That's Mahogany's spot next year. Glasgow was terrible this year. Can we all just admit that? He was terrible this year. And he was I'm not even going to get into it. If you want to keep him in the rotation as the backup center guard guy, I don't know how much he's making, if that's worth it or not. Maybe they have to redo his contract for that. But I'm fine with him staying on the squad, but his starting days are over as the, frontline starter. Mahogany, who was the highest-graded PFF player this last week in this game, he's ready to play. You got to put him in there.
Yeah.
So, after that, are you guys ready for it? You know I'm coming with it. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
Wherever Ben Johnson goes, I'm sending Hendon Hooker with him.
All right, and you'll get a seventh-round pick.
Whatever
for him.
I get for him, I'm fine.
Sure.
I'm signing.
Say that again.
Whatever Hendon Hooker goes, I'm sending Hendon Hooker with him because he's going to need a quarterback who knows his system and ready to go.
And he's not going to start.
I guarantee he'll start wherever he goes if it's a team that doesn't have a
quarterback. You hear that, Mike? A guarantee.
He's going
to start. So if he goes to Chicago, he's going to start.
I said if he goes to a team that doesn't have. If he goes to the Raiders, he'll start next year.
All right. Let's take a bet.
Jacksonville, maybe not. And Chicago, he won't. Jacksonville, he won't. And Chicago, he won't. What's the other team?
One of the three.
Well, what's the other teams up for Ben? I think there's only three, right?
What about Minnesota?
I mean, maybe Dallas. I don't know if Dallas.
What are you talking about Minnesota?
Well, is he going to start in Minnesota?
No, we just talking about teams that Ben Johnson are going to.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. Was there another team that he interviewed with? It was those three, right? Well, anyway, I'm signing. Listen to what I'm saying.
Did he? With the Raiders?
They didn't sign yet, but
I mean, Yeah, go ahead.
We're just talking teams he interview with.
Okay.
I'm bringing Justin Fields in as the backup.
Oh.
That's okay with me. I like him.
I like him, and he's a change of pace back. And if golf goes to Golf LA next year, then you could put a guy that's had some experience and move on. But I think that's the guy you go get for your backup. Now, I don't know how much you got to pay him because an experienced backup is going to cost you a little money, but I'm fine with it. That's the guy. He likes the guys around here. I've seen him on the St. Brown podcast, and he has a lot of respect for the Lions guys. I think that's the guy you go get, and that's what I would do. Now, offensively, you got to get a big receiver. I don't know if Tim Patrick's coming back, or if he does, you're not paying him a lot of money. You might need to get another big receiver. Allen Robinson, I think that's it. Did he play this year?
Barely.
He caught a ball. I saw the one ball he caught.
He had a catch a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, so he's not back. The Donovan Peoples-Jones and all those guys, they'll probably go to other teams, whatever, to try to make it.
I thought they were already gone.
Well, they're on the practice. I'm saying they'll go to other teams. So you got a receiver. Uh-huh. So you're going to need a big receiver, whether it's Tim Patrick or somebody. I like Tim Patrick. If he wants to come back, I'm fine with it. But he's also at that age, too, now, where you got to start looking for replacement. I hate that guy we lost to Cincinnati. Jonah Williams, was that his name? Williams, the kid from Illinois we lost early in the season. Those are the guys you keep, and then you know, you move them into the lineup you have to. Because Isaiah Williams. Because the Tom Kennedy experiment, man, how many years is that thing going to run? I mean, come on.
He's probably just going to retire and become a coach the next thing you know,
the Cowboys will hire him. He'll be the offensive coordinator. But that. Now, two things. Mike, I know you didn't hear this because this is pretty much close with doing the Campbell's press conference today. He said he expects both coordinators to be gone.
Okay.
If he said it that flippantly, that means he knows they're gone. You know what I'm saying? Because
okay.
He follows up with, I don't know anything for sure, but I think they're both going to be gone. You know they're gone. So they're gone.
Right.
Just let's go. You agree with that, right? They're gone.
I would say more, yes.
They're gone.
But I'd say there's a little small chance one's back.
Now, Campbell also said that he has a hand, and offense is his thing. He has a hand in all that, and there will be no drop-off in the offense. Whoever the coordinator would be. And I agree with that because he was calling plays when they fired the other guy, the ex-Charger coach.
Anthony Lynn.
And he was calling plays that whole year. So he's done it, and he has a hand in it. So I'm not worried about the offensive dropping off a lot with Ben Johnson gone. Defensively, he also said he's going to look outside, and he's going to look inside for a coordinator candidate. But he said this specifically, I like playing man. And the person that he brings in is going to be somebody who specializes in man cover. So you're not going to see these Rex Ryan types that, you know, play that zone blitz, that zone type thing. That's not happening. It's going to be a man coverage team. So those are things that I got out of today's press conference. Any thoughts on that, Mike?
Well, no, I wasn't there for it. But, yeah, what you say, that makes sense. You know, Campbell likes to be aggressive, and two things you said about the offense and defense fit into that way of him playing.
Yeah, and he also said that he won't bring anybody in that locker room that doesn't fit that locker room just because they're a good player, and because he was talking about, you know, they need some stuff, they need some upgrades on some positions, and he wants competition. But he said he won't. It's not fair to the people in the locker room. He won't bring a guy in that's going, you know, row against the boat. Basically what he said. And I agree with that.
Yeah. No, I agree with that, too. That would be a number one.
Yeah. So, Roddy, you got any thoughts on the upcoming offseason?
It'll just be interesting which coaches Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn take. I think they've got some in-house candidates to replace them, but I wouldn't put it against Dan Campbell to go outside the building, too. So, that's going to be a fascinating couple weeks with these coaching vacancies.
If Ben Johnson goes to Jacksonville, you can be assured Brunel's going with him.
Okay.
He lives there.
I don't think he's the next in line to be coordinator, though.
No, but for Ben Johnson, whatever team
for
has the coordinates. No, I'm just saying he'll be going with him. No, he's not.
Sure, okay.
Yeah, he'll be going with him. But, you know, a team like Ben Johnson goes to, your offensive coordinator is not going to be play calling, so Brunell possibly could be the offensive coordinator in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if he's going to Jacksonville. I think he's going to the Raiders. But Aaron Glenn, if he takes a job, does he take Shep with him if Shep doesn't get the job here? Because basically Aaron Glenn will be calling the defense too, and Shep can be defensive coordinator in name and slowly acquiesce. So that's interesting. When you said that, that's interesting to think that you might lose Brunell and Shep if things go a certain way. Or Shep might be the next defensive coordinator because Campbell said, I'm looking at guys inside, but also looking at guys outside.
And where is Hank Fraley possibly going to go somewhere?
Frank ain't going nowhere. Because the offensive line just there in the closing meeting.
They're going to lock him in.
They already said he ain't going no damn where. So
they all pitch in a little basket and give it to Hank.
If big guys say he ain't going nowhere, I'm taking their word for it, Mike.
I would hope so. That's a key guy there. The offensive line coach, it always is.
I think outside the coordinators, he's the key guy. Outside of your two coordinators, I think he's the key guy.
No disagreement here.
Yeah.
And also the special teams coach has always been good here.
Oh, he's still coaching. He's good. I hope they change that kick next year, that kickoff next year in the offseason. That one-year thing with that is over. Because I was watching the game yesterday.
Yeah.
Stafford and those guys, the onside kick at the end of the game, Baltimore had to do. I mean, you announce it, man. You're never going to get these kicks, man.
Right.
You know, even the Lions. Didn't we have an onside kick in
the
game?
Yeah, the Buffalo game. Remember that?
The Buffalo game yesterday. Right. That's what I was talking about.
Lions-Buffalo game.
Right. Yeah, so hope they change that around. All right, well, we'll do a few of these in the offseason as things progress when the staff cleans itself up, and we'll do something before the Super Bowl. But this is our last game time Cannon podcast this year. Nick, thanks for joining the group this year. I appreciate everything you've done.
Yeah, this was fun.
And Mike, as always, we've been doing this for about 6-7 years now. Always fun with you, Mr. Mike. And this is Mike's first year in semi-retirement, but he still keeps his hand in on it. You were still good, still knowledgeable, but you will have to take a test next year before we start to make sure you're up to certain aspects of the game, Mike. We must do this every year.
Well, as you know, I don't watch a lot of football.
Nobody knows it better than Michael here. Mike, it's been a pleasure, as always, working with you again this year. I mean, we're not going anywhere. I'm just giving all the accolades out of the season because it's like the season, man. You got this big build-up to Saturday, and then Sunday you're like sitting around wondering, what do I do for the next month, you know?
Yeah, you know what I'm thinking about right now, though? All the way back in April where the fans during the draft – Jared Goff. Yeah. Are we going to hear that again?
No. I think that is dead and gone now. Matter of fact, you might be hearing Jared Goff's name mentioned in a different aspect if he comes out in places this year because the fan base is not happy with him today.
They'll get over it.
They'll get over it, but they're not. I tell you what, when you used to get free drinks when you walk in a bar? It might be a beer. He might get a beer sent his way, but I think the free drink days is over. Hey, the whiskey is over. You could have a whale drink or you could have a light beer. That's your choices, Jared. And he's got to come back from that, man, because that's the MO he had in the Rams, man, and he couldn't get the big one done. And before we go, this comes up. I should have put this back in earlier.
You already said your teary goodbye.
I know, I did. Okay, I won't have it. I was just going to say, if they turn the ball over two times, they still win that game. I think.
Yeah.
Just five was just too many to overcome. That's all I'm going to say about it. I'm done with it.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, that's it for the Cannon Podcast. Go listen to Dan Campbell's closing press conference. It's very interesting. Alex Anzalone this afternoon, 4:30. We're going to recap the season with Mr. Anzalone, who came back from injury, put it out there on the line, played good ball. Jack Campbell, 14 tackles the other day. I think Anzalone had 12. You got to give those guys credit, Michael.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, 13. Anzalone had 13. Campbell had 14. Jack Campbell quietly had a real good season. He's not a boisterous guy. He's not flashy. Solid. That's a solid player.
And he's 6'5". He can get to the opponent.
Yeah, he's going to get nothing but better. Nothing but better.
Yep, I agree.
All right, window's not closed, gentlemen. The sky is not falling. It's just cloudy right now, but there will be a clearing, and the Lions will be back. Thank you guys for listening to Cannon Podcast. That's Mike O'Hare, Ken Brown, and Nick Roddy. See you next time.